Welcome to AM Best Audio.
On July 15th, the UK government unveiled plans to create a more captive-friendly regulatory environment, signaling a strategic effort to attract captive insurance formations and enhance the country's competitiveness in global risk financing. Industry stakeholders are watching closely as the proposed framework could open new opportunities for UK-based businesses to manage risk more efficiently through domestic captive solutions. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV, and joining us now to discuss that is Stephen Cross. He's a founding partner of McGill & Partners and CEO of McGill & Partners Europe. Stephen, welcome. It's so great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You too, Lori. Great to see you.
Stephen, can you tell us about the UK government's announcement and what it could mean for the UK's position in the global captive insurance market?
Lori, I think it's great news. It's long overdue in my mind. I've been in the captive and around the captive business for over 35 years. And this has been something that's been going on in the UK for quite some time, the effort to get to where we are today. So it's quite a pivotal moment on many, many levels. I think it's a very clear signal that the starting gun in the UK has been set in motion now, and the plans will be to create what I believe could be a leading captive domicile, if not the leading captive domicile in the world, given the advantages London brings to the table. I think that that could be achieved. And I think even a bigger signal today was from Rachel Reeves that the protected cell company legislation, which is for the smaller captives, the PCCs, is also in scope, which is fantastic. So frankly, I think that's a great ad. And a lot of the commentary today, very, very positive. The words, predictability, proportionality, stability, competitiveness, and the growth agenda. Assuming that all of this can be put into place and into proper legislation, I think we're in a great place.
So, Stephen, what key elements are essential for a successful and competitive UK regulatory framework?
I think there's a number of things to think about in that. There's a lot of competition in the captive area and the captive space. So there's so many different countries have legislation, and indeed in the US, many, many different states have it. So whatever they do finally put together, it does need to be competitive. So it's got to enable a few things to happen. Number one, I think for the UK, the potential to redomesticate some of the offshore captives that currently exist. And that could be in Cayman, Bermuda, Guernsey, Isle of Man, Dublin, wherever those exist. So the legislation will need to accommodate that, alongside obviously simple legislation or relatively simple, stable legislation for UK domiciled, UK headquartered companies to make it attractive for them. And then third aspect to that to me really is the multinational companies with both UK and other international exposure to make it an attractive location for them to consider to establish a captive. I think those are the primary considerations. And alongside that comes, you know, are they going to enable third-party business? What's the surplus of the captive? What are the approved form of capital? What are the general requirements for independent non-executive directors? What's the governance, the business plans, et cetera, the sort of the day-to-day running of the captive? I think all of those items will be important to this discussion.
Great. Well, following this announcement, how much interest do you anticipate from current clients and potential prospects in establishing a captive in the UK, and which sectors or business types stand to benefit the most from this new option?
A couple of elements to that. And I think to me today, my answer would have been different today now than it would have been yesterday because of the addition of the PCC potential legislation as well, which opens up a door to many, many more companies. So the traditional answer I would have given yesterday was, but I think this is, you know, is very, very good for any of the FTSE companies on the UK stock exchange. They're all very sizable. They've all got complex risk. Coupled with that, a lot of the assets that I would consider as part of the UK's national security are currently insured outside of the UK in captives. I think bringing them closer to home from a national security point of view is a very interesting and probably worthwhile discussion in itself. So, but the large Fortune 500, we would call here in the UK, the FTSE companies, very much in scope for that. PC&Cs tend to look at smaller companies, but they have complicated risks. So that's a good entry point for them. So that's expanded the answer there. With respect to the sectors, to me, captives have always applied across multitude of different sectors, whether it's mining, whether it's energy, whether it's manufacturing, food and beverage, transportation, aviation, marine. It applies to all different aspects of it for different reasons, for different customers. And I think typically captives tend to start with risks that are more challenging to them, that they can't get the coverage or the pricing that they want in the general marketplace. And that's usually what causes to think about alternative risk management and therefore captives. So I think that the third part of your question, it'll be open to all companies for all lines of business. And we'll see how that folds out.
How do you see the UK's proposed captive regime impacting established domiciles like Bermuda and Guernsey? And are you seeing, or do you expect to see, growing interest in redomesticating captives to the UK?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I suppose my opening comment would be that competition is always a good thing. Competition forces people to pay attention and each domicile to raise its game across what they currently offer. So that is good. And if we think of the world we live in, which is the world of risk, it's ever changing, some for the good, some for the bad. You know, tariffs certainly have an impact on international trade now, which means more locations for captives may be needed anyway. We don't know. AI is profoundly, you know, moving the way we think about risk and the speed at which we think about risk. So all of these different things are occurring every day. And therefore, you know, development of new captive domiciles should be in line with that. Now, assuming that the legislation ultimately passes and contains what we believe it should, then I do see the ability and the possibility for redomesticating captives into the UK from overseas. I guess a couple of the reasons would be, one is, again, national security assets, probably prefer to keep them closer to home. Second of all, it depends on, you know, right now the tax take for the UK exchequer on captives is zero. So anything ahead of that would be and should be of interest to them. We probably see that, you know, it would have to be competitive to attract companies back. And they also have to build that into the legislation. Now, that doesn't mean that offshore captives, you know, it's the end of offshore captives for UK companies. There are many, many large companies that have multi-captive strategies with captives located in different domiciles for different reasons. So it doesn't mean necessarily that they'd put the existing captive into runoff. It could be that they'd set up a second or a third or a fourth captive here in the UK. So we'll have to see how that unfolds. But redomestication is certainly a possibility. If I'm a risk manager of a large UK corporate and I've got to travel to Bermuda or Cayman to do some of my captive placement, my captive work, and my captive board meetings, or I can come into the City of London to do it. You know, I'm going to save a lot of time by just coming into London to do it. So there's a lot of different reasons out there from just the pure practicalities. Of course, it's up to the UK government to make the legislation work really, really well for those customers and make it attractive. Redomestication is definitely a possibility, and not just from the domiciles which you've mentioned. There are UK companies pretty much in most domiciles around the world.
Great.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
When you look at the UK, Stephen, what stands out that could really help its captive insurance market thrive?
Yeah, I'll give you hopefully not too long an answer. And by the way, I don't have a horse in the race, so I love the captive world, and I lived in the Cayman Islands for a couple of years alongside the US as well for 8 years. So, however, I have to say the suggestion and the indication on the PCC legislation widens that potential customer base, as I mentioned earlier. So that certainly is table stakes. But the one massive advantage I believe London carries ahead of any other domicile is the fact that Lloyd's of London are here and located here. And the offering which Lloyd's can give to multinational corporations in particular is very, very compelling, and not a lot of people fully understand that. So I think that that's something to be exploited, and it is very, very interesting. Equally, probably alongside Bermuda and Switzerland, and to a certain extent other locations, but all of the major reinsurers and the insurers in the world are located here in the square mile, as they call it, in the City of London, around the Lloyd's building, all here. So you've got a lot of capital sitting in, you know, within walking distance of where I'm sitting here today. Also, I think what Rachel Reeves pointed to today in the legislation, and this across the financial services regulation, the whole document is 76 pages, there's only a couple in relation to the captives, is the flexibility and the transformation of the regime and into a much more simpler risk-based type of regime, which should make things a lot easier. She also referenced insurance-linked securities and the ILSs. And the availability of different coverages for more emerging risks around climate and cyber. I think all of that is going to bring London to the forefront. On top of that, you've got an incredible amount of intellectual capability sitting around London, reinsurance, insurance, advisory, risk management. And, you know, a lot of the London IP in terms of people pretty much incubated Bermuda over the years, and indeed Cayman, where I lived, there was a lot of people out of the UK there, and Singapore and elsewhere around the world. So you've got a tremendous amount of intellectual property, which really, really does help to manage and consider the growth of the captives themselves. That equally applies to independent non-executive directors in a lot of the, particularly the offshore domiciles. They tend to focus on the compliance and the regulatory part. Whereas here in London, I think you can get a lot of advisory assistance. And I probably say it's a little bit different. It's the difference between counting the beans and growing the beans. And I think the opportunity to stay on point and relevant in today's very fast-moving world of risk, probably London provides an advantage to that. And then the final thing I'd probably say is the installed client base in the UK. Most other domiciles do not have a lot of large companies based where they are, whether that's Cayman, Bermuda, or even Vermont for that matter. New York probably has, you know, quite a number of companies there, and it has captive legislation. But for the UK, you've got, you know, the FTSE 100 clients, you've got a whole heap of clients that are here in the domicile that will now certainly will and should be having a look at this this emerging possibility for them.
Stephen, do you think a UK captive domicile could attract non-UK insureds if its regulation is suitably balanced?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially for the multinational companies, as I say, with risks already potentially placed in London, and more specifically the Lloyd's market, for all the reasons I mentioned about that proposition. So I do think that with the flexible regime should make that make that work. But I think, you know, we may have to wait and see. I would say UK domestics first, redomicile of those back here and new formations. But if I'm a US multinational, I certainly probably would want to be thinking about London once we see the legislation when it finally comes out.
Stephen, this has been so interesting, so insightful, and it's been a pleasure. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Laurie, you're very welcome. Thank you very much.
That was Stephen Cross, a founding partner of McGill & Partners and CEO of McGill & Partners Europe. For AM Best TV, I'm Laurie Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day.
Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.